Well, good morning. I am delighted to be here to represent Campbell University. My name is David Tillman. I'm going to talk a little bit about our work in rural North Carolina, which is where Campbell University is located, but also in Honduras, where we are part of some projects. And I want to mention that you see on the screen some of the co-authors in this work, Drs. Tina and Ray Singh and Dr. Wesley Rich, and certainly this collaborative project amongst the faculty there at Campbell. But it also, this work represents the work of a lot of people in North Carolina and in Honduras, governmental agencies, NGOs, community members, and so they're all represented, as you will see, in the kind of things we're talking about. I have nothing to disclose, no financial relationships. I'm going to be mentioning some of the community partners we have, some civic groups. I'm not even members of those groups, so I have nothing to say about that. At Campbell University, our mission is to work with students to understand the challenges and the opportunities of community health in rural areas. And particularly rural areas in the South, like the one in which our university is situated. We're not by design, we're not by vision, a global health program. So embarking these projects that in developing countries is very consciously an effort to try to help ourselves and our students and our communities learn from one another. So implementation science suggests to us that there's value in implementing and understanding and comparing implementation efforts across contexts, even contexts that are on the surface very, very different, like, for instance, Harnett County, North Carolina, and Honduras. So we implement these projects, we discuss these projects, the planning teams for these projects understand that we're working in both areas and try to use that crosstalk to benefit both communities, both sets of communities. And so that's kind of the project that we're going to be describing and the way that we use that in the university as well as with the communities. So when I say they're parallel implementation efforts, both efforts have a shared focus. And so the implementation of these projects is really around access to preventive dental care and health education. And so both of the projects are oral health projects. Both of them are focused in a very specific way on providing preventive care specifically for children. And then coupling that experience of receiving that charitable care with health education experiences that same day. Both of these are short-term events. And we're going to talk a little bit about, from a theoretical standpoint, as well as our experiences, whether or not there's value even in a charitable event as a part of a strategy for a community's health. And the second thing is that these are both rural areas. So Harnett County is situated just south of Raleigh, and is a community that's traditionally been an agrarian economy. At present, Campbell University, which is a rather small institution, and the public school system are the two leading biggest employers in the area. So we're talking about a very small place with a small economy. And then in Honduras, the projects that I'm going to be talking about were situated just outside of San Pedro Sula in a remote and rural area there. And then thirdly, these implementation efforts were interprofessional, meaning that we consciously sought out the opportunity to put students from different disciplines and faculty from different disciplines, as well as the professionals within the community in dialogue and planning and implementation and evaluation of these projects, trying to expand capacity and knowledge. The Honduran project, because these are two very similar projects happening in very different places, I'm putting a little icon up there. So if I'm talking about the Honduran project, there's a little Honduran flag for your benefit. And then on the Harnett County project, you'll see a little outline of the county. So the Honduran project's actually organized by their Rotary Club. And for a number of years, over a decade, there was an annual project in the same region where a group of medical professionals and dental hygienists and dentists would go and provide care over the course of a week. And so there was setup and breakdown, of course. And so what that actually translates into is about 3 days of service directly to patients. It's operated through a system of stations, which you'll see again in the Harnett County implementation, that includes dental care, medical care, health education, arts and crafts. The way this actually functioned was that it's just sort of an open clinic, and therefore people would queue up as much as 3 or 4 hours before the start of the clinic that day to get in line. There would be a triage process to try to understand a need and then assign numbers to receive care for that day. So again, our involvement in this project came at the tail end, and we had, you see pictured there, Dr. Ray Sang, who's a part of our faculty and as well as a dentist, providing care there, but we also had students, and my colleague Tina Sang was there doing some assessment work. In Harnett County, it was a Give Kids a Smile event. I don't know if you're familiar with Give Kids a Smile, but it's an event that's encouraged by the American Dental Association as a way for dentists to give back. So it's a charity event, but in Harnett County and in many rural places, events like this don't take place. There was a summit in 2007 to talk about best practices around the implementation of Give Kids a Smile. At that event, there was exactly one presentation that had to do with rural implementation. So this is an event that was birthed in urban communities and continues to predominantly be implemented in urban communities. So our effort is to try to understand how we best do this in a place like Harnett County. It was operated, as I mentioned before, with a system of stations. So our public health students, in addition to physician assistant students, faculty, and these care providers were all involved in both providing care and then in facilitating these health education and then just some positive experiences with arts and crafts and this kind of thing. This event, unlike the Honduran event, was a single day event, a single Saturday in February, as most Give Kids a Smile events are. So if the purpose I've outlined, then what was the result and the impact? One of the first comparisons to make is that if you want detail on what's happening in these kind of trips, and I don't think there's anything unique at all about the Rotary Club's trip to Honduras as we compare it to other mission trips and other kind of medical and dental missions. Hundreds of patients were indeed served, but if you want to ask specifics about that, the allocation of personnel on the trip to do the evaluation work, to do the assessment work, to keep records and data, to be able to share information back with the community, but also to evaluate your own efforts, it's incomplete is generous, right? Incomplete is a generous word to use in describing the fact that those records don't exist. And so one of the chief aspects of our parallel implementation efforts is to try to improve awareness with our community partners who are doing outreach efforts into the developing world, that working with these communities in a genuine way also means assessing your work and providing information back to the community. And so you see a pretty stark contrast between what we do abroad and those kind of efforts and then the charitable events that we have here at home. If you want to talk about what population was served in our Harnett County project, we've got all kinds of information as represented in this infographic. So the comparison I think is striking, and it certainly has been helpful for our students to think about and to look at the contrast between what we have in these two implementation efforts. So you see that we served 91 children, that most of these children all of these children had medical insurance and none of them had dental insurance. I wasn't a qualifier to be a part of the day, and most had never seen many had never seen a dentist. Almost 40% had never seen a dentist. What you also see at the bottom there is our effort to find, especially for these children who had significant issues, to find dental homes for their care in the future. again, a piece of the implementation effort and that we think benefits our partners who are working in developing countries like Honduras. We were able, as a part of our collaboration, to do some survey with survey research with participants in the event in Honduras. And we asked this question, where do you get dental care for your children? And slightly over half of the people responded that the mission was the primary way in which they provide dental care for their children. So Michael Marmot yesterday was talking about being eternally optimistic in the general session. This is sort of half full or half empty kind of slide. What does this mean to you? Well, it can either mean that we're excited about the role of the mission in filling a gap. That would be the optimistic way to look at that half of the chart. Or it's a really striking and startling indication of how inadequate the access is, that a three-day event becomes a primary resource for the community. So as we think about that and then compare it to some of the information that we got from surveying parents at the Harnett County event, asking parents, as I said before, about 90% of parents said that they don't have a place that they go to get dental care for their children. And then we asked very specific questions that you'll see. It's a rather small font. I apologize for that. Specific questions about, okay, what are the barriers for that 90% or 89% of our parents who report that they don't have a regular source of dental care? And the inability to afford care was rated as the biggest obstacle to seeking care. Not transportation or language issues or some of the other things that we asked about, which is a tough challenge to face, right? Because the inability to afford care requires either some macro system policy adjustments that change the way in which we finance and compensate care for oral health care, or it's going to require a lot of charitable care and the organization of that to increase access. So that's sort of where we are. But I'm reporting on this in very much midstream, and we felt it was necessary and important to come here and share this information because it's likely that if you're interested in this kind of topic that you work with one of two groups that I think can benefit. Either you're an academic and you work with students and you facilitate this kind of work in classrooms and in through field experiences, and we would encourage you to think about our strategy for coupling the work that we're doing in context at home with outreach efforts globally and really thinking about how we can learn across these two contexts. Or you're working for a community organization or a provider, and you may be involved in projects at either here or perhaps outreach efforts in developing countries. And we think that the crosstalk between the two are really important. So I mentioned before, there's, I think, an honest and real question that groups like us should think about when we talk about these charity events, which is, does it have a place in a system of care? And with oral health in particular, we think that, and the literature reflects this as well, that with dental care, charity events can have an important role, partly because of the real benefit of a fairly brief encounter with a provider. Preventive care, we can accomplish quite a lot, especially with children, with one visit a year. And so as a part of the entire dental health safety net, charity events actually can have an important role. But the effort to have that community health impact is really separate from the execution of a successful event. So when we're working with our friends from the Rotary Club, it's understandable, it's completely understandable, that their focus is on the details of accomplishing the event that they're trying to orchestrate, getting people to and from the country, getting things set up and then broken down, getting donations to make things happen. But really what and our experiences are suggesting is that the community health impact is really separate from the execution of an effect or a successful, quote-unquote, charitable event. And so we're working with our community partners now to really build in capacity to think about community health impact as a part of what they're doing. And that sustainability means that we've got to work in Harnett County and in Honduras and everywhere we're working to go beyond sporadic events to really systems and looking at that. So when we're thinking about what we know from our work in Harnett County and how we can help the Rotary Club and other groups that are working with us in implementing efforts in Latin America, one of the things that we're bringing to them is the necessity of allocating resources to data collection, assessment, and evaluation. It's not, I would venture to guess that it's not a surprise to any of you that this is important, but it is an important conversation and learning experience to have with these civic organizations. The second bullet there is really about our efforts to connect these short-term trips to the capacity of the community and spending some effort on building capacity and helping the community members understand the assets within the community. So in a part of upcoming trips, not only are there going to be these stations in which the kind of care that's always been provided for the last decade will happen, sponsored by the Rotary Club. But in addition to that, we're working with the Ministries of Health to do community assessment and also to provide workshops with the community to promote asset-based community development. These are parts that have not traditionally been aspects at all of the work that's being done by these short-term mission trips. And then focusing on leadership that's already there, capacity that's already there as real and earnest partners. Just like, which was a very natural thing for us to do at home, but is often left out of the planning process for these short-term mission trips. And then applying some, what we learned from looking at what's going on in implementation over a decade with this charitable event in a remote rural area with a lot of need is that, in fact, these charitable events can have quite an impact, and there are preventive care goals that can be accomplished through these free care events, such that now we are working at home to expand to other rural counties that have never had this kind of event to be able to provide care for their children in their communities. So we really do feel like there's an honest and important dialogue between the two events for our students and for the other folks here involved. I'll also say this, if you're an academic, that we have found, and we're going to talk more about this at a poster session if you want to go. I guess that was a commercial. a little later this afternoon, I'll be standing by a poster that talks about this work of connecting. If we want to solve the oral health challenges, particularly in rural areas, we have got to engage more than dentist or dental hygienist in the solution. And an important part of that for us, you can look at lots of reports, and I won't take the time to go through it now, but for instance, you look at the IOM saying, reporting that if we're going to solve healthcare issues in rural areas, we've got to engage and expand the role of physician assistants and nurse practitioners and those folks. We've got, additionally, IOM reports saying that if we're going to solve oral health challenges in rural areas, that we've got to expand access to care, right? So what we did is connect the dots between our own program. We're situated within a College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences where we have a physician assistant program. And so we engage heavily these physician assistants in public health work and thinking about their role in a slightly different way than perhaps they are in many schools. And we engage them in these kind of efforts so that they'll understand that they can be a part of the solutions to a variety of community health challenges. And this graphic is really busy because the place was really busy. But we've labeled folks so you can see what that integration actually looked like in a single frame, in a single moment of time on the implementation of our Give Harnett Kids a Smile event. And you see that folks from all over the spectrum in just in this one moment. And finally, it is, I teach in a public health program. So we are under no illusions that this is a comprehensive answer. It is a good part. It is good. But charity is not a system of healthcare, and we understand that. So comprehensive approaches are necessary at home, they're necessary abroad, and we are just implementing this as a strategy for trying to connect dots between the two. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it very much.